Welcome to Noracast Tech Briefing, your essential guide to the latest in AI, robotics, and edge computing. I'm Host A.
And I'm Host B. We have a packed show for you today, heavily focused on the rapidly shifting landscape of AI developer tools and local inference.
It's been a massive week for AI engineering. We're going to start by looking at the official launch of Claude Sonnet 5, which has just become the default model in Claude Code. We'll break down the new context windows, the aggressive promotional pricing, and what it means for agentic workflows.
Then we're going to pivot to the open weight side of the ecosystem. Alibaba just dropped Qwen 3.6.27b, and the community is calling it the absolute sweet spot for local development. We'll discuss how it's managing to beat models more than 10 times its size in coding benchmarks, and whether you can actually run it on your daily driver without melting your laptop.
And for our final deep dive, we're getting into a pretty spicy controversy. Security researchers have discovered that Claude Code is using steganography to secretly mark API requests. We'll look at the leaked attribution headers and debate whether this is a necessary defense against model distillation or a massive breach of developer trust.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right into it.
Let's start with a major release in the AI developer space. Anthropic just dropped version 2.197 of Claude Code, and the headline feature is the introduction of Claude Sonnet 5 as the new default model. This is a pretty significant shift for anyone using Claude Code, whether you're on the free or pro plan.
It really is. The standout spec here is the native 1 million token context window. That is massive for a model that's meant to be running agentic coding tasks right in your terminal. You can point it at a huge repository, let it read dozens of files, execute commands, and manage your Git workflow without constantly hitting context limits or losing the thread of the architecture.
And Anthropic is pushing adoption hard with some aggressive promotional pricing. Through August 31st, 2026, they're charging just $2 per million input tokens and $10 per million output tokens. After that window closes, it bumps up to $3 for input and $15 for output.
Even at the post-promotion price, it's highly competitive. What's fascinating is how they're positioning Sonnet 5. They're explicitly marketing it as a highly agentic model, claiming its performance capabilities are approaching those of the much more expensive Opus 4.8 model.
Right, and that fundamentally changes the cost-benefit analysis for developers. Previously, if you wanted reliable autonomous coding, where the AI isn't just generating snippets, but actually navigating your file system, running tests, and debugging the output, you had to eat the cost of an Opus-class model. Now, you're getting that high-level agentic performance at a much lower, more accessible tier.
It makes you wonder how this will impact long-term integration strategies for teams building on the Claude API. With the promotional pricing ending in August, developers have a couple of months to build out complex workflows on the cheap. Once they're locked into the ecosystem and relying on that massive 1 million token window, the transition to the standard pricing is probably just going to be absorbed as a necessary cost of doing business. It's a classic strategy, but it works because the utility is so high.
I also think about the barrier to entry. Claude Code operates directly in the terminal. When you lower the cost of the underlying model so drastically, you're going to see a lot more experimental, automated workflows from individual developers and small startups who previously couldn't justify the API spend for Opus. You can essentially have a junior developer iterating on boilerplate for pennies.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the cost. It's the latency and efficiency. Sonnet models have historically been faster to generate first tokens. If Sonnet 5 can genuinely match the reasoning of Opus 4.8 while running faster and cheaper, it's a massive win for productivity. You don't want to be sitting around waiting for your terminal agent to think for 30 seconds every time it needs to run a bash command.
Yeah, and considering the sheer volume of tokens an autonomous agent consumes just by reading logs and iterating on errors, that price difference between $2 and $3 per million tokens will add up over thousands of runs. But compared to what we were paying for Opus, it's still a bargain. It'll be interesting to see if OpenAI responds with a similar pricing tier for their coding models. Speaking of local developer workflows, our next story looks at the open weight side of the ecosystem. there's a lot of buzz right now around Alibaba's QN3.627B model, which was released back in April 2026. A recent post on Quesma's blog makes the case that this specific model is the definitive sweet spot for local development.
And the numbers absolutely back that up. This is a dense 27 billion parameter language model released under the Apache 2.0 license, meaning it's completely free for commercial use and modification. It boasts a 262,144 token context window, which is huge for a local model of this size, allowing you to feed in entire code bases or extensive documentation.
But what really caught developers' attention is a feature called thinking preservation. Basically, it retains reasoning context across your conversation history. If you're using it as a coding agent, it doesn't just remember what code it wrote, it remembers why it wrote it and the logical steps it took to get there, which drastically reduces the hallucinations you usually get in long, multi-turn coding sessions.
And the performance benchmarks are wild. On the SWEbench verified tests, QN3.627B is actually outperforming significantly larger models, including its own massive sibling, the QN3.5 397 billion parameter A17B model. That is a staggering achievement for a dense 27B model. It proves that parameter count isn't everything when you have highly optimized training data and architectural tweaks.
It really brings up the hardware debate. To run this practically, developers are using inference engines like Llama.cpp or VLLM. You can run it effectively on consumer hardware, like an NVIDIA RTX 4090 or a high-end Mac with unified memory. It perfectly bridges that gap between the small, underpowered local models that hallucinate constantly and the massive, cloud-dependent frontier models that cost a fortune in API calls.
Right, but is it truly viable to run these models on a daily driver laptop? An RTX 4090 desktop or an M-series Mac with 64 or 128 gigs of RAM can handle it, but you're talking about serious thermal and noise costs. If your laptop sounds like a jet engine while it's compiling and reasoning, a lot of developers might still prefer to offload that inference to a dedicated headless local server sitting in the closet.
That's a fair point. The thermal throttling alone on a thin and light laptop could tank your inference speed after a few minutes of heavy agentic tasks. But the fact that you can run a model that beats a 397 billion parameter behemoth locally, entirely offline, without paying API fees, is a huge structural shift for the industry.
It also makes you wonder how much of that perceived intelligence is the underlying architecture of QN3.6, versus the specific agentic scaffolding developers are using to run it. Tools like OpenCode or Hermes Agent provide so much structure, giving the model access to linters, compilers, and bash terminals, that they can make a 27B model punch way above its weight class.
I think it's a mix of both. The Apache 2.0 license is the real catalyst here. By making it commercially viable and open, Alibaba has basically invited the open source community to build the best possible scaffolding around it. There's no fear of a vendor pulling the rug out from under you.
The existential question is whether this 27B sweet spot is sustainable long term. As frontier models from OpenAI and Anthropic continue to grow and become more capable, will local hardware requirements inevitably force developers back to the cloud? Or will algorithmic efficiency keep this 27B form factor competitive for everyday tasks?
If the leap from QN3.5 to 3.6 is any indication, algorithmic efficiency is putting up a hell of a fight. I think we'll see local 27B models handling 90% of routine coding tasks for the foreseeable future.
For our final deep dive, we're circling back to Claude Code, but this time looking at a growing controversy. A post by a researcher known as The Real Low recently highlighted that Claude Code is steganographically marking API requests sent to Anthropic.
This is a fascinating and somewhat alarming intersection of security and privacy. Researchers found that Claude Code embeds hidden markers within the system prompt or request headers. These markers are entirely imperceptible to the user during normal operation, but are easily detectable by Anthropic's backend servers.
A technical analysis of some leaked Claude Code source code revealed exactly how this works.
they use an attribution header structure. It looks like this: x-anthropic-billing header, followed by a CC version and fingerprint, a CC entry point, an attestation placeholder, and a CC workload variable. It's injecting this payload into the data stream without surfacing it in the UI.
That is a massive amount of metadata. Critics are pointing out that this mechanism is tracking system settings, proxy configurations, and potentially even user location or corporate affiliation. And because it's steganographic, meaning it's intentionally hidden, it's happening covertly, which has raised massive red flags about privacy and unauthorized data transmission from local machines and unauthorized data transmission from local machines.
You have to look at this from Anthropic's perspective, though. Claude Code has deep autonomous access to local code bases. They are terrified of API abuse, specifically things like model distillation, where someone uses Claude's high-quality outputs to train a competing open-weight model, or unauthorized resale of their API through proxy services.
I totally get the security argument, and protecting their intellectual property is valid. But Claude Code isn't just a web interface. It's a developer tool running natively on your local machine, reading your proprietary files and environment variables. When a tool with that level of file system access starts covertly exfiltrating system-level metadata without explicit opt-in consent, it fundamentally changes the trust dynamic between the developer and the AI provider.
Right. And it plays into the broader scrutiny we've seen recently regarding AI agents. We've talked on the show about indirect prompt injection and the risks of unauthorized file system access. Now developers have to worry that the tool itself is acting as a telemetry spyware agent for the vendor, obfuscating what it's sending home.
Exactly. Is this a necessary security measure or a massive overreach? If Anthropic wants to prevent abuse, they should arguably be completely transparent about the telemetry they are collecting. Put it in the terms of service. Show it in a debug log. Hiding it in steganographic prompt markers or obfuscated headers feels deceptive, especially for a tool targeting engineers who will inevitably reverse engineer it.
And it raises the question of how this changes the relationship moving forward. If I'm an enterprise developer, my InfoSec team is going to have a field day with this revelation. We might see companies outright banning the use of Claude Code on corporate networks if they can't verify exactly what metadata is being sent back to Anthropic servers.
Or we'll see the open source community build stripping proxies. You can imagine a local firewall rule that intercepts the API calls and scrubs those steganographic markers and headers before they leave the local network. It's going to be a constant cat and mouse game between Anthropic trying to fingerprint requests and developers trying to sanitize them.
It definitely seems like an unforced error in terms of developer trust, even if the intentions around preventing model theft were justified. They're going to have to address this publicly soon.
All right, that's enough deep dives for today. Let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup. Sounds good. Let's run through the updates. First up, continuing the Anthropic news, they released version 1.13.0 of the Anthropic CLI on June 30th, 2026. The big addition here is a global --- workspace ID flag to set the Anthropic workspace ID header.
That's a crucial feature for routing requests in complex, multi-tenant environments, specifically things like Claude Platform on AWS. The release also adds API support for the new Claude Sonnet 5 model and the 2026 o3.18 WebFetch tools, further pushing AI agents as a deployable, version-controlled part of standard software infrastructure.
Next, tying right into that ecosystem, the Anthropic TypeScript SDK also saw an update to version 0.108.0 on June 30th.
This update officially brings support for the Claude Sonnet 5 model to the SDK. It also fixes a key bug in the agent toolset to allow absolute paths that resolve inside the working directory. More importantly, this release puts an end to all those wild industry rumors and leaks we saw about the Fennec codename over the past few weeks, clarifying their actual product roadmap.
Moving over to Europe, there's growing concern that the highly anticipated European Digital Identity Wallet, or EUDI, relies too heavily on proprietary safety services from Google and Apple.
Yeah, the wallets use Google's Play Integrity API and Apple's Managed Device Attestation to verify that a device hasn't been tampered with.
critics argue this excludes users on de-Googled operating systems like GrapheneOS and creates a strict dependency on U.S. tech giants for critical European public infrastructure, which directly undermines the EU's goal of digital sovereignty.
Finally, a sobering economic report from the New York Fed. The labor share of income in the U.S. has fallen to 54.1% as of early 2026, marking its absolute lowest post-war level since tracking began in 1947.
It's dropped 1.6 percentage points below pre-pandemic levels. To put that in historical perspective, back in 1979, the labor share of corporate income was 79.1%. By the first quarter of 2026, it had fallen to 71.3%. It really highlights the growing structural gap, where productivity and corporate profits are significantly outpacing worker pay.
And that is all for today's episode of Noracast Tech Briefing.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe in your podcast app of choice. We'll be back next time with more of the latest news in AI, robotics, and tech infrastructure.
Stay curious, and we'll see you then.